Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. You know you only have one life to live, and obviously you want it to be the best that you can be, of course. You want to leave a living legacy to your children and grandchildren. You want to leave them with memories of joy and happiness. Of course you do. But although your life may seem happy enough, what is that nagging feeling that something is missing? What can you do about that? Well, my guest today is going to discuss these exact topics. In this interview today, you are going to find out how to increase your ROI. And I'm not talking about a return on investment, but a return on intention. Amen. Eric Donovan is the president and CEO of an organization called Paradigm. Now, since 2007, under Eric's leadership, Paradigm has been empowering families and businesses to live a better story by being more intentional in what they are doing. Now, Eric's been helping people, families, and businesses to discover greatness, growth, governance, generosity, how to impact today, tomorrow, and eternity. Praise God. Now, before Paradigm, Eric was vice president for Charles Schwab and helped to build the New Orleans private client office to the top national office in 2006. And before that, he was an associate with Fidelity Investments in charge of the management of money market mutual funds. He's a certified financial planner, a qualified kingdom advisor, and affiliated with the Financial Planning Association. Eric and his wife, Angel, founded To All With Love, a faith-based nonprofit dedicated to sharing the joy of service with others and impacting their local community and Central American villages and also in U.S. neighborhoods. He, his wife, and their children reside in Covington, Louisiana. Help me welcome to the program, Eric Donovan. Eric, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it is so awesome to be with you. I don't know that I feel like I deserve all of those kind words you just gave, but reminds me of how good and, you know, how good God's journey is.
Amen. It sure is. Amen. You know, I know
we're easy, but it's always good.
Yeah. Amen. I know we talked a little bit off the air. I know where Covington, Louisiana is. And we talked about, you know, my memory, hasn't faded that much. It's about halfway between Baton Rouge and Gulfport, Mississippi, right?
It is.
And there is a world famous, the home to a world famous gator ranch, right?
It is. I will tell you, we didn't talk about this part offline, but I like to tell people where we live in the downtown area, it is the closest to Mayberry that I've ever found.
It is a small town.
Slice of heaven.
Amen. Yep. And like I said, I haven't been there in 15 years or more, I guess, but I actually got to hold an alligator there, something that you normally don't want to do out in the wild.
They throw birthday parties around that these days.
Oh, my goodness. Well, back on topic, Eric, I do appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and I've been looking forward to this interview. I really have.
Me too. I'm excited.
Other than that brief bit of information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Eric Donovan?
Well, so Eric Donovan is a servant of Jesus Christ and a husband to Angel and a father to Clayton, Austin, and Grayson, and the steward of Paradigm. I am on a great adventure to spend my life verse is Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so my life is about doing everything I can to live a life with open hands, asking God to guide my steps, help me understand what he wants me to do, with an understanding that if I take care of his kingdom, he'll take care of mine. And part of that stewardship is then taking my employees and then families that we get to work with on that same journey so that they can every single day wake up and say, God, what is it that you have designed for me? And in that design, we do. We end up making an impact today, tomorrow, and eternity. And that's what it's about, amen, ultimately, is standing before his throne and hearing, well done.
Amen. Amen. Tell us why you formed Paradigm.
Mm. Wow. You know that's a loaded question, right? You understand.
That's my job.
Let me give you a little bit of background because I think that that will frame it. And then I'll tell you why I formed it, because I was raised in a small town in West Texas. My dad was a veterinarian. Small town just outside of Lubbock, Texas, if anybody's familiar with that. Mm-hmm. But he was a really, really good veterinarian. I like to say he wasn't necessarily the best businessman, but he had a heart for growing a business. He had that entrepreneurial growth spirit that God had just gifted him, like he gifts all of us to be a creator. But I mean, that entrepreneurial spirit was in him. In between my seventh and eighth grade year, my mom fell and broke her arm. Mm. And up until that point, I was raised in the church. I had a kind of this idyllic, just growing up lifestyle. Everything was good. But my mom's arm would not heal. And she ended up having a bunch of surgeries and, come to find out, got a staph infection. We didn't realize it at the time, but we buried my mother the day before I started my freshman year of high school.
Oh, my goodness.
And that then started a series of events that kind of caused my life to spiral out of control. I was angry at God. I was mad at the situation. My dad and I kind of got cross. He was really stuck. He had borrowed a lot of money to grow his business. And then my mom's medical bills started catching up with him. And, you know, for anybody that's listening that's a business owner, especially a sole practitioner, you understand if something like that were to happen, I mean, he had to wake up every morning and he's got two kids to take care of. I have a sister who's 7 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
But he still got to go to work every single day because these bills are piling up. And all of that culminated in my senior year of high school. He filed bankruptcy and we lost everything. And again, I was angry at God. I was mad at the overall situation. And in my mind, what I was convinced of is that if I was just rich, if I was wealthy enough, none of that would have happened to me. So I went off to school at Texas A&M University with the goal of getting out of school. I just wanted to get out of school so that I could start making money. And I've always had kind of an entrepreneurial mindset because of my dad. I met my wife, Angel, my senior year at A&M. And then when I graduated, I just started looking for what could I do to make money? What kind of business could I start? What could I do? And I ended up getting a job in the financial services industry right out of college. And that really kind of piqued my interest. But we were living in Dallas at the time, and they were getting ready to move that entire operation from Dallas to New Hampshire. And I had graduated with a degree in agribusiness, and so I was not really keen on moving to New Hampshire. So I got a job working for General Mills. They moved us 5 times in 2 years.
Wow.
And we landed in Phoenix, Arizona, and I felt a call back to the financial services industry. So I was going to go get an MBA in finance. And so I got accepted to Arizona State's MBA program, and the dean of finance called me in and said, "Hey, what are you thinking you want to do?" And I told him my story. And I said, "I really want to make a career and a living out of helping families avoid what happened to my own family, the bankruptcy and agony and everything that we went through." And he said, "Well, let me tell you, you don't need an MBA. You need a job. You need to go get a job with a financial services company." And Charles Schwab happened to have an office there in Phoenix, Arizona. So I took a $20,000 pay cut and lost a company car to go follow a calling into the financial services industry. But to make that up, I had to work overnight. To make up some of the difference, I'd work overnight. So I worked from about 4 p.m. until 2 a.m., 5 days a week. And it was during that time, I just started learning and consuming as much as I could about finance. And what I realized at that point is I kind of had an anointing from God on the knowledge. I recognized it at one point. I was on the phone with somebody, kind of watching them take phone calls. And they had been there about 4 years. And I realized they were giving the wrong answer to someone on the phone. And I hadn't even, I'd been there for about 4 months. And again, I just recognized this anointing. And I was still, though, with this idea that money was going to solve my problems. Money was going to be the piece that made everything better.
Yeah.
And my wife got pregnant with my son, Clayton, and we felt a calling for her to stay home. And it's really not a positive story, but God used it for good, I thought, well, you know what? I don't know what all God's word says about making money, but certainly there's a secret in here or something that I could use to my advantage. And so we took a Crown financial class.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the first two lessons of Crown are, first, you don't own anything. God owns everything. And the second lesson is, if you can't be content with where you are, God never has, you know, God has called you to be content right where you are right now. And both of those two lessons broke me. Mm. Because I'd been carrying around so much bitterness and so much, you know, this passion about getting rich or getting wealthy so that I could solve this problem that I had faced. And my wife was pregnant again with Clayton, and we were like, well, you know, we feel like she needs to stay home. And we sat down and we did the budget, and no matter what we did, we were $200 short every month. Mm. We're in the Crown class, and God's like, do you trust me enough? Do you trust my faithfulness enough? So that was what we kind of felt God saying, is just trust him in being faithful in our tithes and our offerings and see what happens. And that year, we discovered and fell in love with generosity and giving.
Amen. Amen.
The very first check we wrote every single month was to some ministry. We weren't connected to a church at the time. Mm-hmm. So we would get things in the mail, and we would take all these, it was really fun. We'd take all these things we'd get in the mail, and we'd lay hands and pray over them. And then God would kind of guide us on where to give during that time period. But Robert, during that year, we never went short, and we paid off $5,000 in debt.
Praise God. Oh, man.
Amen. And I was like, oh, so God's serious about this. You know, like David, when David went and counted his soldiers, that's when God, you know, was like, hey, you shouldn't do that. So people have asked me, how did that happen? I don't know. I didn't count it. I don't want to know. I know God was working a miracle.
Amen.
Right? And so we were trying to get back to Texas, and because we'd had Clayton, and we were trying to get back closer to family. And God kept giving me favor with Charles Schwab. I kept, you know, succeeding and getting promoted. And they had started a division they called Private Client. And we were trying to go work in their Private Client division in Texas. And I got a phone call from the hiring manager. And he said, I don't know if I'll ever get you back to Texas, but we made the wrong hiring decision in our New Orleans office. Mm. And if you will take that office, it's yours. The job is yours. And I'd been applying for that job for about a year and a half.
Wow.
And I came home, as you can imagine, and I said to my wife, I was like, we've got an offer. All we have to do is move to New Orleans. And she's like, I'm not raising my family in New Orleans. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to raise my kids there. And God had a different plan. And about 2 months later, he called me again, and he said, this is my last time. I'm going to offer it to you. Will you fly out and take a look? And we flew out, and we took a look at Covington, which is about 45 minutes north of New Orleans. And she fell in love with Covington. And so God called us here, and we moved here. And God just continued to give me favor and blessing inside of that role.
Amen.
And then Hurricane Katrina hit.
Yep.
And we were here, mm-hmm. and God called us to stay. But during that year, I had a lot of clients who were in the construction and rebuilding industry, and had a lot of favor overall that year. And God tapped me on the shoulder and said, you've done everything you can do through Charles Schwab now. I need you to go out on your own. Hmm. So I said, okay. And that was a pretty scary step, to tell you the truth. And so in November of 2007, right before the financial crisis, I walked out the door and opened Paradigm. And it was a scary time because it was right before the financial crisis and everything. Mm-hmm. And God just kept preserving us and kept taking care of us. I do have to tell you another generosity story, though, because this just really shapes my life. The day that I walked out the door, so maybe 2 days later, I'm sitting down and I'm praying. And I had saved up some money because you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And God tapped me on the shoulder and he said, hey, that money you saved. I said, uh-huh. You saved too much. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, well, yeah, is this your story or is this my story?
Amen.
Because if this is my story, then you've got too much money. I said, okay, all right, I hear you. How much money is too much? He said, I need you to give away half of it.
Amen.
I went to Angel. I said, Angel, I need you to pray because I've been praying and God kind of has indicated to me we've saved too much money. And I'm not going to tell you how much we're supposed to give away. I just want you to pray about it. And I want you to see what God says to you. And so I wish she was around to tell you the story because she tells the story like she opened up her Bible and it went to Gideon where it's talking about laying out the fleece of testing God as to whether or not this is true. And she tells the story. She's like, I'd try to go to Genesis and I would end up in Gideon. And I would try to go to Revelation and I would end up in Gideon. And God kept drawing her back to that. And she got the same indication, give away half. And so we did. We wrote that check for half. And God, I know for a fact, because I've got too many miracles that followed that, God Amen. Sustained us through 2007 and 2008 Amen. Because of our Amen. Obedience to his calling.
Amen.
Amen. To generosity. And so yeah. we just followed that. And about that time, we're going to get into why Paradigm really became what it is today. Mm-hmm. Around the same time, I had a family come into my office who they came in and said, listen, our grandfather started an oil and gas company. And we get a really big check every quarter. And we don't know what to do with it, but somebody suggested that we should come see you. I said, okay, well, that's interesting. So they came in, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm still young in my career. I'd just gotten my certified financial planner. I knew what I didn't know. I knew that there were right. things I still didn't know about what we needed to do to help them. And they're like, we haven't done any planning at all. And the wealth just keeps growing and growing. They had two young kids at the time. So I was like, well, I know this family is believers and I know their family of believers and I know they have an incredible heart for generosity. So we're going to find the very best attorney, very best CPA, very best everyone we can. We're going to put everybody in the room and we're going to figure out what we can do for this family that will allow them to embrace God's kingdom, bless their children, bless their family, and do everything really well.
Amen.
And it was at this moment, we'll talk more about this, I'm sure, that I began to understand that the financial industry, even for believers who aren't conscious of what they're doing, is all about return on investment without Yep. paying attention to return on intention. And what Yeah. I mean by that is, if you're not careful, there are unintended consequences sitting inside of the plans and money and financial things that you're doing that may not show up for 5 years, 10 oh, yeah. years, maybe yeah, not even yeah. a generation or two, but yeah. no one's thinking long-term about the consequences. They're just thinking, hey, more is better. Bigger barns are better. Mm-hmm. Everything's better. And so with this family, we sat down with everyone and they created a really, really good estate plan. Mm. It created a really, really good tax plan. There was very little generosity built into it. And when we got done, all I can tell you is I was sick to my stomach, but I couldn't tell you why. Mm. I knew something was wrong. I knew something was broken about it. And about 3 months after that, I met a gentleman who became my mentor. And he worked with Christian families, helping them ask, what is it God is calling you to do with what he's entrusted to you?
Amen.
I found that through his unique process of helping people realize what are the unintended consequences that you're creating? What happens if you choose to leave this much wealth, then could you end up with kids who are not motivated or mm-hmm. addiction or miscommunication or divorce and all yeah. these other unintended consequences that start showing up down the road. Mm-hmm. And in asking those questions, the craziest thing happened is when Christian families were getting clear on what they wanted to do, they had the ability to increase generosity, typically 3 to 10 times what they were already giving. Even super generous families found they could give 3 to 10 times more than they were giving right now.
Amen.
Pay a whole lot less in taxes and all of that without changing anything about what God was calling them to do. So they could, you know, if they were living a lifestyle, had a second vacation home or anything like that, God, unless God told them to, most of them weren't changing anything about their lifestyle, but we're seeing an incredible increase in generosity and incredibly reduced taxes. And all it was getting them really, really clear on what their intentions were and what God was calling them to. And I'll land this story just really quickly because I ended up working with that gentleman. He retired 7 years ago and I bought out his portion of the business and that's kind of continued to be our calling. But the family that came in, I told you I had a bad feeling in my stomach. About 6 years later, the family's company went public on the stock market. And the family wealth increased about 20 times when that happened.
Okay.
And each one of the children, still younger than 20, were worth over $100 million.
Wow.
Through really, because it was really, really good tax planning and really, really good estate planning. But it wasn't what mom and dad wanted for them. Mm-hmm. And there have been, inside of the family, there have been we've had cousins who've passed away due to addiction.
Yeah.
We've had, we've got one of the children we're dealing with some lack of motivation and lack of work. And we're still praying through and working through some of the issues. But when you build something like that and it, well, and then the wealth expands like that, it's really hard to undo and unwind. Again, it took 6 years for the unintended consequences to show up because no one asked the question, what would happen if this wealth became even more massive than it is currently? It just was a really, really good tax plan and a really, really good estate plan. And so that's the calling of Paradigm. And what I like to say is most people, if you ask them how they're doing, they're like, well, I'm good. I've got a good attorney. I've got a good CPA. And my question is, what if things could be better? And what if in being better, you could pay less taxes, be more generous, and live the life that God is calling you to? And the way that that's found is in seeking out what your actual return on intention is, not just your return on investment.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, that, you know, I remember as you were talking about that, that last part, I remember my grandmother used to have a saying, little money, little problems, big money, big problems. And,
absolutely. Well, the way that I like to say it, because I think it does go both ways, is money. I don't believe money causes problems. Money is not the problem. What money does is it reveals and magnifies the things that you ignore or put on the back burner. Growing up, it was a lack of money through the bankruptcy that caused a lot of the relational strife and my getting, you know, off on the wrong direction of pursuing wealth instead of pursuing relationships and pursuing things that are healthy. I mean, it was really an unhealthy place that I went to. That was a lack of money. Well, an abundance of money also can cause problems. It's not the money. It's the emphasis on relationships.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The most important thing all of us have are our families and our relationships. And unfortunately, when most people go sit down in their attorney's office, their financial advisor's office, their CPA's office, it's all about a product or a solution or an idea or a strategy. And it's like, but what are the visions for the family? What are the values? What is God calling you to? What's your purpose? And what we've found is that when families get really clear on their purpose and their intentions, most of the time what they discover is all the strategies and everything are not in line with that.
Right.
They're out of alignment with what God has called them to.
Amen. You know, the name of your organization, Paradigm, that's an interesting word. What does it mean? And why did you pick that name for your business?
Yeah, so it means beyond the day. And so what I want is people to be thinking about what I've been entrusted with today is only mine for a little while. I am simply the steward passing through, and we are going to hand this off to another generation. And because I am simply the steward of it, then the most important thing I can do is not just pass on money, but pass on the wisdom and the relational capital that needs to go along with passing on any wealth or any resources that I might pass on. The name centers from, if you remember, David had this strong desire, if you get down to where it doesn't come directly, but it's built around the story of David had a strong desire to build God's temple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God told him, he's like, you've got too much blood on your hands. This temple is not yours to build, but it is for your son. It is for King Solomon to build. And so he spent the latter part of his life preparing King Solomon for that. David had to think beyond today because the vision that God had given him was for a temple. and he was never going to be the one to see it.
Yeah.
And in our lives, we're going to be called to do things that we may not be here to see, but are we preparing the next generation? Are we preparing to pass that baton? And are we thinking about the right conversations and the right things that need to be done to pass that baton?
Yeah. Amen.
Hey everyone, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of my special two-part interview with Eric Donovan of Paradigm. Praise God. I hope you've been inspired by Eric's story. I mean, he went from a successful corporate career to wanting to help people, individual people like you and I, to achieve success. How? By helping you to live a better story by being more intentional in what you do. Eric's been helping people, families, and businesses to discover greatness, growth, governance, and generosity, praise God. And when you do that, you are able to impact today, tomorrow, and all of eternity. Amen. I love the saying that we got out of today's interview about today will echo through eternity, praise God. Now, you can request your family impact kit that Eric is offering for free. Just email him at eric.donovan@paradigm.org and ask for it. Use the links below in the show notes. Reach out to Eric. See if he's able to help you grow. If so, great. If not, well, there's no harm in checking it out. Amen. Now, next time, I dig deep into the conversation with Eric. He's going to be sharing a lot of great information on how you can be better at what you do. He'll be sharing things like the 6 principles of transformation and values, visions, voice, and venture. What's that, Brother Bob? Well, you have to come back and find out. Praise God. Go down to the show notes, reach out to Eric today, and until next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.